Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Hello and welcome, everybody. It's October 25, 2011. I'm filling in for Alex today. My name's Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. We have a packed show for you today, and Alex will be back tomorrow to continue with the broadcast here on InfoWars. Now, today, oh man, we've got so much going on. The North American Union has arrived. The first official Mexican shipping truck is set to cross the U.S. border shortly. We've got so much news going on. Ron Paul, money bomb, raises $2.75 million to help his campaign there. Still the only guy that's got a plan. Still the only guy telling the truth. Still the only guy that respects the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, which is, of course, why they're going after him, tooth and nail. Oh, now, of course, we've got Rick Perry saying, let's scrap the tax code, offering a 20% flat tax. Well, I guess this whole flat tax idea, this Kane 999 idea, is starting to become some kind of weird viral infection in the minds of the other candidates. Now, Perry's saying, let's go for a 20% flat tax. Of course, what they don't tell you is that they're going to keep all the other taxes, too, on top of that. They're not going to roll out the flat tax in place of the other taxes, but rather on top of everything else. That's the scam. Remember, the income tax started out as a 1% tax on the top 1%. And now it's what? I don't know. The average American worker that's making a middle-class wage is paying, what, two-thirds of their income in taxes of one kind or another? Sales taxes, property taxes, state income taxes, federal taxes, Social Security taxes, gas taxes, you name it. All right, we've got also coming up today just a lot of breaking news. We've got the anthrax vaccine experimentation that now the U.S. government wants to run on little children in America, and they are trying to decide if they should use American children in these medical experiments. And they can't figure it out, and they have a bunch of bioethicists in a committee who are trying to advise them to say, gee, should we inject these little kids with anthrax vaccines, or should we just wait until they get infected with vaccine with anthrax through some kind of bioterrorism attack? Of course, who will launch the bioterrorism attack? It's our own insiders, probably, very own government operatives who would do that. We've also got news coming up today about the Raw Milk Freedom Riders event taking place November 1. Check this out. We've got a bunch of moms who are going to have a caravan of soccer mom vans who are going to break the law. Yes, they're going to smuggle raw milk across a state line. And then, get this, these criminals are going to consume that raw milk right in front of the headquarters of the FDA. This is coming up on November 1. We have alerted the authorities, thanks to the If You See Something, Say Something campaign, we've alerted the authorities that this vicious crime is about to take place. Yes, a vicious crime of consumption of actual food. Oh my God, what is the government going to do? Well, that's coming up. We actually have a guest in the third hour on that. Also, let's see here. At the bottom of this hour, we're going to be joined by Gwen Olson, author of Confessions of a Prescription Drug Pusher. Some fascinating information from the inside of the pharmaceutical industry and the pharmaceutical propaganda and marketing scene and how they're pushing drugs on children. And then, oh, I'm sorry, the raw Milk Freedom Riders is at the bottom of the second hour. And then the bottom of the third hour, we're going to be joined by preparedness expert Daniel Vitalis. We're going to be talking about the bombing of Libya, or should I say the peace bombing, the Nobel Peace Prize winning cruise missile bombing of Libya, and what that means in terms of preparedness. All that is coming up right here on the Alex Jones Show. So stay with us on the other side of this break. We will return to cover all this and more right here on InfoWars. So stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, welcome back, friends, to the Alex Jones Show. I'm Mike Adams, filling in today for Alex, who is off filming. I mean, he's never off. He's never not working. He's always working. And today he is filming, I believe he's in Las Vegas, filming with Jesse Ventura, another episode of the amazing conspiracy theory series, which is, of course, I mean, we can't wait to see it. This is the third season that they're filming, so I can't wait to see what they're going to bring out, and I can't wait to see what's going to be censored, because some of those episodes, they don't really want on the air. And we're going to go through some of the breaking news here today, and we've got some great guests coming up. It is October 25th, by the way. I should have said that right there at the intro. We've got just an action-packed show for you. Lots of information about... We've got an insider from the pharmaceutical industry, the author of a book called Confessions of a Pharmaceutical Drug Pusher. Her name's Gwen Olson. She's joining us here in studio at the bottom of this hour. Kind of reminds me of John Perkins, you know, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. What a great guy and a great interview. John Perkins has been on this show many times, of course. So we have kind of a similar type of thing here with Gwen Olson, Confessions of a Pharmaceutical Drug Pusher. We've got Liz Rietzig coming up at the bottom of the next hour to talk about the Raw Milk Freedom Riders event taking place November 1, when a bunch of moms are going to be breaking the law by smuggling raw milk across state lines and consuming it in front of the FDA headquarters. Wow, can you believe that? That's pretty daring in this day and age with such tyranny. I wonder if they're going to get stopped by a TSA roadside checkpoint before they can even get there. And the TSA will probably jump in their vans, I don't know, strip them down and say, "We're searching for milk." You never know what the TSA is going to try next. Then we've got Daniel Vitalis coming up at the bottom of the third hour to talk about preparedness and Occupy Wall Street, the riots, what I'm calling the second American Revolution. I mean, I'm probably not the first one to use that phrase. A lot of people are saying the second American Revolution is upon us, or at least the beginning signs of it. Occupy Wall Street could expand. I just think the protests are going to expand. We've got the bank failures happening in Europe, and we've got some domestic news. So I'm going to read you some of these headlines with a few comments on this. If you're watching on prisonplanet.tv, we do have Gwen Olson in studio coming up the next hour. So check us out there. Okay, McDonald's boosts profits despite the sluggish economy. Isn't that wonderful? We have a wonderful economy in America now where if you work for a processed factory-made junk food company or the toxic cancer industry or a hospital or a pharmacy where you're pushing deadly drugs or antidepressants onto Americans. Now, I think 11 or 12% of the population is on antidepressants. Well, if you're working in any of those industries, then you got a job. Yeah, because the economy is really strong in all the industries of disease and death and war. Yeah, that's right. If you build missiles, you got a job. If you make processed food, you got a job. If you're working in the death industry, also known as the healthcare system, I should say the conventional healthcare system, then you got a job. And McDonald's is boosting profits. Boy, I tell you what, this economy is going to become McDonald's and Walmart and cancer centers and bomb-making operations and nothing that really helps anybody anymore. You know, what about the farmers out there who are trying to grow some hemp so that we can actually have some economic abundance in America with hemp seeds and hemp fibers and hemp clothing and hemp paper? You can even make car bumpers out of hemp if you want. I know a few people in Mexico who are actually trying to put some hemp into car bumpers as we speak. But the point is, all of the stuff that could help our economy is being outlawed, right? I mean, the dietary supplements that can help prevent disease, outlawed. Raw milk from fresh from a farm in America, outlawed, suppressed. I was talking to a rancher just yesterday, last night actually. They have grass-fed, free-range beef that they sell, and now the USDA is coming in and saying, oh, they're going to have to label the fat content of every little cut of beef. Well, every cut is different. Because they don't have a big multi-million dollar factory where they're combining 20,000 cows into a giant grinder so that you can sample it once and you can label, you know, 100,000 packages of beef with the same fat content. No, they actually cut the beef off the cow carcass piece by piece the way it used to be done, you know, where every cut is a little different because there's variation in nature. But now they're going to have this extra burden thanks to government regulators. It's just sad. All right, TSA agent. A blogger says the TSA agent found a vibrator in her luggage and left a note. You know, I'm not going to go into any details on that one, but the TSA is leaving notes now, little cutesy notes in your luggage based on what they find there. It's like a running commentary. Oh, wow, we sure are enjoying your iPad that we stole from you and auctioned off on eBay. That's the note they should leave. Or, hey, next time you come through here, bring some better electronic gadgets so we can steal those too. That's what the TSA should be leaving in there. And, okay, here's some interesting news. These headlines are driving me nuts. This is actually from a couple years ago, but I thought you needed to know about this. There's an RFID chip patent that an Arab individual filed for, and it is a killer microchip patent so that the RFID chip can remotely be told to release a deadly dose of cyanide. Yeah, if you thought tracking you was the problem with RFID chips, just wait until they click that terminate button. Oh, you post something on your blog that they don't want to hear? Terminate. Little release of cyanide for you there. A Wisconsin town now wants to make walking and biking a crime. This is true. I'm not making this up. This town says that bicyclists and pedestrians are such a nuisance. You know, these people, how dare they walk? How dare they ride their bikes? Such a nuisance on the town roads that this town of Hull, Wisconsin, wants these people to register their travel plans in advance. You got that? Register your travel plans in advance. Okay, you're out walking around the street. You're walking around the sidewalk. Maybe you're going to the store doing a little shopping. Hey, maybe you're just catching a little sunshine or fresh air alongside the road there. And a police officer comes up to you and says, hey, you're a nuisance to the traffic here. Did you register your travel plans in advance? If you say no, apparently you're going to be arrested. You see, walking around is going to be illegal now. It's not just, you can't carry raw milk across state lines. You can't drive down the highway without being inspected illegally by the TSA with all the drug-sniffing dogs. And now they don't want you to be able to bicycle or even walk around. The Occupy movement, moving on to other news, spins off something new. This is interesting. The Occupy Marines and the Occupy Police. Now, this is actually a really good sign, some positive news here. Apparently, a group of Marines and another group of police are saying, hey, we're part of the 99% too. So we support these protests. We support the rights of free speech. And all you police who are trying to arrest these people, back the heck off, okay? Back off. Let these people exercise their First Amendment rights. People like Naomi Wolf, who was a guest, I believe, here, last Thursday, who was arrested for walking down the sidewalk. Well, apparently, she would be welcome in Wisconsin, in Hull, Wisconsin, as long as she registered her walking travel itinerary ahead of time. Yes, I'm going to go down 4th Street. I'm going to take a right. It's like an FAA air flight travel plan. Yeah, I guess you got to register that. Then I'm going to walk 2 blocks. We're going to take a left on Main. And if you veer from that plan, you could be a criminal. But anyway, Occupy Marines, a group of Marines who apparently realized that, hey, they got to fight for something that makes sense. And good for them, good for them. Fight for liberty, fight for protection of the Bill of Rights, fight for free speech rights in America today. How are we doing here? All right, good. A lot more news to cover. Wall Street protest plans a global rally before the G20 summit coming up. That's some more news. We've got coming up the study of the anthrax vaccine that we mentioned previously. We're going to get more into that at the top of the next hour. They want to use American children as experimental little guinea pigs for their little anthrax vaccine tests. Oh, yes, the history of the experimental use of children, not just children in Nigeria, which, of course, that's a legendary part of medical history. Not just the prisoners in Guatemala. No, but American children. They want to inject them with anthrax vaccines. I guess it's their little patriotic duty.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, just be injected. Let's see if you live. See if you live, and then they'll say it's approved for everybody else. That's how the vaccine industry works. Okay, a monster prediction from Bank of America. Another U.S. debt downgrade is coming in just a few weeks. This article says from businessinsider.com, another debt downgrade. What could that do to the U.S.? Well, the ability of the United States to be able to sell more debt could be in jeopardy. They would have to pay higher rates, which, of course, pushes the debt cycle, the spiral, into overdrive. Not a very pretty picture. I hinted at this, parried a pitch, scrapping the tax code and offering an optional 20% flat tax. Now, a little bit of commentary on this. Look, I wouldn't mind, as a citizen, if this were honest, if this were true, if you could trust Rick Perry. yeah, I didn't mean to get into comedy there. But if you could trust Rick Perry and this were really a 20% flat tax, I wouldn't mind paying 20% flat tax, okay? I wouldn't mind that at all. Get rid of the paperwork, right? Get rid of all this collecting of receipts where you have to be like a human pack rat collecting paper everywhere for 7 years just to be able to calculate how much you think you owe, and then they can come in and say that's wrong and that you're trying to cheat on your taxes just because it's too complex. I wouldn't mind paying the 20% if it were honest, but you know it's not going to be. You know they're going to slap more taxes on top of the flat taxes. So, Perry, we know what games you're up to. We've seen you in action here in Texas before. We're on to you, man. All right, stay with us here on InfoWars. We'll be right back with more after this break. All right, welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. Thank you for joining us today on Tuesday, October 25th. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, filling in for Alex today. If you're just joining us, Alex will be back tomorrow. He's out filming in Las Vegas with Jesse Ventura. That should be exciting to hear from him what he's discovered out there. Always some interesting stuff going on. I'm going to cover a few more headlines, and then at the bottom of this hour, we're going to be joined by Gwen Olson, author of Confessions of a Pharmaceutical Drug Pusher. But here we go. And by the way, a lot of these articles are up on InfoWars.com. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts has an article called Reckless Endangerment, Totally Corrupt America. Man, I love this guy's writing. Paul Craig Roberts is one of the best writers out there today. And this article is posted on InfoWars.com, so be sure to check that. And here, you know, he really lays out the case for how America, the whole political system, has devolved into really just a bunch of gangs. That's what we're dealing with here. We're just criminal gangs that now have government, quote, authority. It's really just a system of gangs. You know, the medical system is a gang. In many towns or cities, the police are gangs. I'm not saying all police are bad. I know there are great ones out there. There are honest ones out there. But many of them are really just gangs with badges, and you know what I'm talking about, the corrupt ones. The FDA, it's a gang. The DEA, a big-time gang right there, drug-dealing gang that pretends to suppress drugs. Oh, my gosh. We've also got, Kurt Nimmo is also covering Rick Perry's 20% flat tax scheme in another article on InfoWars.com, so check that out today. Here's a story that has just been breaking. It actually came out yesterday. Teen violence linked to heavy soda consumption. That's kind of interesting that they found that the teens who drink the most soda actually have, well, they commit the most violent acts. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean soda causes violence. It could just be a correlation that, hey, violent teens love to drink soda pop. It could be, yeah, let's go beat somebody up and then have a Coke. Yeah. I guess that's what's going on. But we're going to be covering this on Natural News, too. I posted an article today that's been also been picked up at InfoWars. The Second American Revolution has begun. There I lay out a case for how everything is really a criminal operation. Everything in the government, of course, I'm talking about. But also, you know, Wall Street, the banksters, the global banking elite, the drug industry, the vaccine industry, the fluoride industry, which is really just a way to get the public to drink a bunch of toxic chemicals. How crazy is that? The Supreme Court has ruled that thousands of home foreclosures are invalid because banks just don't have the documentation to support that. That's not really new news, but it's just been the state Supreme Court of Massachusetts, I believe. Yeah. So not the U.S. Supreme Court. Let me correct myself on that. The state Supreme Court ordered that made that decision in Massachusetts. So now we've got thousands of people there who think they bought a foreclosed home from a bank, and it may turn out they don't really own that home. And then it may turn out that all these people who bought the homes in the first place and the banks were trying to foreclose on them, those people may still own those homes and the banks may not own them at all. Man, what a mess. Just another example of the criminality of the financial system that is just coming apart at the seams there. A lot of this is unraveling, all right? The Federal Reserve hoax is unraveling. This is what's great about the protests happening today. And I don't agree with all the protesters' messages, but for many of them, they're right on the mark. They are unraveling the lies and the corruption and the criminality of our system today, like the fact that we keep starting wars so that we can fight them, so that we can have a military-industrial complex that keeps earning money to keep fighting the same wars that we keep causing. You know, classic case, Libya. Now, what have we installed there? Al-Qaeda as the ruling regime. So now what are we going to do? Come in and fight Al-Qaeda another year or two later? Another case for war. Got to have perpetual war. 1984 is alive and well today. All right. We got just one more minute here. A couple more headlines. We announced, by the way, a flu shot propaganda photo contest. And we'll be sharing these photos with InfoWars. This is over at Natural News. So if you've got some photos of some flu shot marketing propaganda that you see out there at the pharmacies or the grocery stores, take a snapshot of that. Send it to us at Natural News. We'll be sharing those with InfoWars and probably even doing a special video report on the collection of flu shot propaganda. Remember, we had a photo earlier last week about Grim Reapers that are promoting flu shots at a CVS pharmacy. Yeah, life-size Grim Reapers holding the sign, get your flu shot. And the other part of that message is, and die, I guess, because they're Grim Reapers. A cruel Halloween hoax. Okay, on the other side of this break, stay with us here on the Alex Jones Show. We're going to be joined by Gwen Olson, Confessions of a Pharmaceutical Drug Pusher. I'm Mike Adams here on the Alex Jones Show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping.
All right there, folks, welcome back. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, filling in for Alex Jones today here on the Alex Jones Show. Thank you for joining us. We've got just an incredible lineup of guests right ahead for you here, including Gwen Olson, who's in studio with us. We're going to be going to her in just a minute. Let me give a brief intro to that information and why her book really matters. And I also just want to say thank you for listening in. And you're going to learn a lot today in this interview coming up, a lot about the pharmaceutical industry from an insider's perspective. This is information that they will not tell you in the mainstream media. They will not tell you in the drug advertisements that you see on television. Hey, you won't even find this on the FDA's website because they don't want you to know this information. Now, the book is called Confessions of an RX Drug Pusher. I've been describing it as a prescription drug pusher, but the title is really RX. So if you're looking for this on Amazon.com or wherever you buy books, go to Confessions of an RX Drug Pusher. And we'll show you a shot of that book here in a second for those of you watching on PrisonPlanet.tv. Now, Gwen Olson has won numerous accolades and awards for her work as a journalist, reporting, again, as an insider, a former insider in the pharmaceutical industry. She's been featured on all kinds of news, television shows, radio programs all across the country. She dares to tell the truth. She has tremendous courage, and she is, in my opinion, helping people save their lives from the dangers of pharmaceuticals. She joins us here in studio today on the Alex Jones Show. Gwen, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hey, it's nice to have you here. I'm just going to scoot this microphone a little closer to you there.
Okay.
Make sure everybody can hear you. So give us the quick version of a little bit of your background, how you used to be an insider, And what made you change your mind and start speaking out about the dangers of how these drugs are marketed, especially to children?
Well, I spent the vast majority of my time in the pharmaceutical industry as a specialty rep from 1985 until the year 2000. So I was primarily calling on your specialists such as cardiologist, endocrinologist, OBGYN, and psychiatry. And throughout my 15-year tenure, I worked for four major manufacturers, and I started to realize that they all had one thing in common, and that was that they considered human beings to be a human commodity, and that they expected a certain number of us to lose our lives in the utilization of their products.
So this was just part of their formula. They know we're going to sell $100 million of this drug, X number of children are going to die, or adults are going to die, and to them, that's acceptable.
Yes, when I don't know that they actually have it down, X number of children or X number of adults, but, you know, we anticipate that there are going to be certain number of deaths, certain number of side effects, and we also put aside a kitty for lawsuits that will probably result as, you know, because of that.
Except in the vaccine industry where they have the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, where you can't sue through the normal courts.
Correct.
It's all total. Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Correct. So I was in the industry for a period of 15 years, and over that course of time, it wasn't like, you know, one day that I said, oh my God, I'm in the pharmaceutical industry, I have to get out. It was a series of events. I mean, I started waking up consciously in the pharmaceutical industry. So this is a spiritual calling for me, what I'm doing. But it was, you know, it was just one event after another that I started observing that I was being told to misinform providers, that I was being given information myself that was incorrect, and I was supposed to minimize side effects, and I was constantly being trained to divert the attention of the healthcare provider from the problems that, you know, were created by my portfolio of drugs.
Okay, whoa, that's a lot that you said already. Let me start. First of all, the money is good as a pharmaceutical rep, isn't it?
Yes, I made six figures before I was 26 years old.
Wow.
Okay. And a company car and benefits. And
okay, so you got a car, a six-figure salary.
Yes.
So your job was to go around and visit the doctor's offices and basically persuade them to prescribe your company's drugs to their patients.
Yes, my job was presented as an educational position where I was to educate physicians, but my job was a marketing job where I was meant to increase the bottom line of my company's portfolio.
And in this education job, as you say, you just said that part of what you were told to do was to minimize side effects, you know, to minimize any discussion about side effects, perhaps to exaggerate drug benefits.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, every training that we did, anytime we went to a meeting, anytime we went to any, you know, pool meetings or gatherings of numerous reps together, we would have training sessions called knee to knees and toe to toes, where you'd have one rep that would oppose, stand in line and oppose the other representative, one playing the doctor and one playing the rep. Then we would take different objections that people were hearing in the field, and we would learn to manage those and minimize that doctor's concerns for that objection. So you would have marketing personnel and management there that would be directing you, and a legal person very often if you were in the home office.
Wow.
And we would all practice regurgitating the exact same response to that particular concern.
Wow, so role-playing, practicing. You know, if you were doing that with raw milk, you'd be charged with conspiracy.
Absolutely.
That's a conspiracy.
I'd be in jail.
Right there.
I'd be in jail.
If you're sitting with somebody and you're planning how to persuade someone, that's a conspiracy. Okay, so then, but this, so you were very effective, I would say. You were,
yes,
very effective.
I was in the top 3% of any company I ever worked for, which, and the only reason I say that, that's my ego speaking. I was the best of the best of the best, but that's what that industry is about. And I don't want people thinking that I'm speaking out because I'm disgruntled, I couldn't make it in the industry. That the only reason I stayed in the industry was because I was extremely effective at my job. They'd have never put up with all my questions otherwise.
So you could have continued in that industry and made millions of dollars and continued.
Absolutely.
To climb the corporate ladder.
A millionaire.
You sure you don't want to be the vice president of Pfizer's global vaccine division like the former CDC head, Julie Gerberding?
I sleep very well at night now. I don't think he does unless he takes Ambien.
Well, I think she sleeps just fine because she's taking sleeping pills from her employer there. Okay, that's just a joke for those of you, for those lawyers out there who are wondering. Okay, in your book, by the way, can you hold up your book so people can see it on prismplanet.tv?
Yeah.
Confessions of an RX Drug Pusher. And this is available everywhere. What's your website, by the way?
It's gwenolsen.com, G-W-E-N-O-L-S-E-N.com.
Gwenolsen.com, great. And I notice you have some articles, a little bit of a running blog and information. Jaron, can we bring up that website just to show people what that is? What else can people find there?
Well, I really have, it's a nice site where everybody can go and get good information. I can get information from you. I put a lot of your articles on.
Oh, do you?
Yes, I do.
Great,
Dr. Mercola. I put a lot of different information on there, just trying to keep abreast of things so that people have one resource site that they can go to.
What do you think of this breaking news that we have now where the U.S. government wants to study anthrax vaccines by using American children as guinea pigs, injecting them with this vaccine to see what happens?
Well, you know, I'm a child advocate, and so that's actually the crux of my work, and my mission is about informed consent and keeping our children safe, because as adults, I believe we have the right to take and put into our bodies whatever we choose. But for our children, I think we really have the responsibility to get it right, because they do not have an option and they cannot refuse our treatments. So I have a very personal view of this, because my husband, quite frankly, has had his health destroyed by the anthrax vaccine. He was one of the weekend warriors that was reactivated and had to go to the Gulf War.
Really?
And they gave him the anthrax vaccine. When he went, he was extremely healthy. He biked, he windsurfed, he swam. He was extremely healthy. In fact, he was in the peak of his health. When he came back, he developed all kinds of health issues, including asthma and allergies, and his thyroid stopped functioning. He's had critically high blood pressure. He's got extremely high lipid profiles, and I attribute this to the vaccines and other things that he was exposed to.
But,
so
but
it makes
Gwen,
me very concerned.
The government says that there's no correlation between these experimental vaccines that all the Gulf War veterans, for example, were given, and the side effects that they are experiencing, the neurological issues, the asthma, the autoimmune disorders, and so on. They say there's no correlation. And by the way, they've had people sitting in rooms role-playing back and forth with the press, you know, to make sure they get their answers straight on that, probably with a big White House lawyer along for the ride, or a Pentagon lawyer as well. But they say that what you just said is completely false. What's your response to that?
Well, obviously, my story is anecdotal. But I also have to respond that I found that the government lies quite frequently. Particularly when they're in collusion with the pharmaceutical industry. And so I try to tell people that, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, because I can prove everything that I say. And I think a lot of people, if they did their own due diligence, would realize we're being lied to about a lot of things, particularly by our government.
I can't believe we would have a guest here who would say the government lies. How dare we? All right, chapter 3 of your book is A Case Against Antidepressants. Now, there was breaking news last week, I believe, or the week before, that, 11-12% of the American people are on antidepressant drugs every day of their lives. It's incredible. What does that say to you as someone who's been now on sort of, you've seen both sides of this industry? Are you concerned about this trend?
I'm very concerned about it, and I think that the advertising is obviously a lot more effective than the drugs are, because I've done my due diligence, and I know that the drugs are no more effective than 10% more than placebo, and that 60% of that efficacy is placebo effect, which means that if you take a drug, you think you're going to get cured, and therefore, because you have that ability of the mind-body-spiritual connection to heal yourself, you will heal. So I know that antidepressants are not effective. I know that they're trying to move a lot of that market, and I predicted this actually 5 years ago, that they would move a lot of the antidepressant market into the antipsychotic market as soon as people became privy to the fact that they didn't work. And now we have treatment-resistant depression where they add on antipsychotics. So I was like, whoa, why didn't I think of that?
What about oppositional defiance disorder?
Oh, that's
my favorite.
I was diagnosed with that myself.
Yeah, just for those listening, oppositional defiance disorder is a legitimate, well, I should say a fraudulently fabricated disease that the psychiatric industry says is legitimate, that you can be diagnosed with this by disagreeing with authority figures, and then you need treatment.
Hey, and I just thought I was a rebel with a cause.
Well, you know, having your own independent ideas, Gwen, that's almost terrorism. I mean, that's like betraying the country, I guess, now, to have your own ideas.
Well, I think we both probably fall under the definition of a homeland terrorist now.
For having our own thoughts.
That's right.
Well, speaking of terrorism, let's go on to other chapters of your book. Oh, man, you've got a chapter here called Another One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Betrayal of the Public Trust. What about the FDA's conspiracy with the pharmaceutical industry here, where they knowingly approve drugs that they know are fraudulently, that the trials are fraud? Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen cases where many clinical trial doctors are just making up the numbers, literally making it up, and they get published in peer-reviewed medical journals. And then years later, they get caught, but thousands of other scientists have already quoted their study, and now it's considered scientific fact. It was all a complete hoax.
Or they do like Dr. Biederman did at Harvard, and they promise a result, an outcome from the studies before the studies are even conducted. So the studies, a lot of the studies are overseas. They're done overseas now, and they're in third world countries, you know, where they lay down millions and millions of dollars, and they say, this is what we're looking for,
yeah.
You know, as if that's not going to come back so that they can get, you know, future studies done in those areas. But it's a big collusive effort from the pharmaceutical industry to the FDA to just get everybody covered and all of their bases covered. They're pushing drugs through the system and fast tracking them because the pharmaceutical industry doesn't want to wait, you know, for the appropriate R&D to be, you know, conducted.
Right.
And
well, it takes time to fabricate data.
Right. And they claim to lose $1 million a day, you know, and while they're waiting for those to get patents. However, right. I do know that a lot of the FDA members are just people that are basically waiting to get out and retire from the FDA and go into consulting positions into the pharmaceutical industry. It's a revolving door. They go in and out of one another, and particularly in government as well. So, I mean, people just need to follow the money trail, and they would realize how much we are at risk in terms of
That's the theme of everything going on today. If you follow the money trail, you know, then you can figure out, you can decode the matrix. You can see what's happening in our world. And Gwen, by the way, you are an American hero. I'm going to say that on the record. You are a hero. You are a real hero, not these fake false heroes that are trying to run for president today. There's only one hero running for president. That's Ron Paul, in my opinion. But I want to take some calls, by the way, after this break. So if you're listening to this and you got a question for Gwen, maybe you have a local doctor pushing psychiatric drugs on your kid. You got a question about that? Well, Gwen's not a doctor, but she's been in the industry. She might be able to give you some insight. So get your questions ready. And I hope we can do some call-ins here. We'll do that after the break. But, you know, getting ready for that, we've also got the whole vaccine industry is now being exposed as a total fraud. The flu vaccine doesn't work. But, and the Gardasil vaccine is maiming and killing some children. That's exploded in the press recently. So we're winning.
That's right.
Know?
We are winning. And we're winning by virtue of people waking up to the reality that we are not safe and that our government is not benevolent caretakers of us. We need to be aware and we need to self-educate.
And that's what you can do, folks, by reading Gwen Olson's website. Again, gwenolson.com?
That's correct.
All right. Yeah. And I hope, by the way, I hope maybe you'll write for us from time to time.
I would love to.
Would love to have some of your stories up there. By the way, Gwen Olson did win a human rights award from CCHR, which speaks out against psychiatric medicine. I've also been recognized by that organization. You know, the bottom line here is you and I think, operate from a sense of compassion for children, especially.
Absolutely.
We don't want to see children maimed and harmed. Is that what you feel in your heart when you write this kind of
absolutely
book?
And actually, you know, I worked for 5 years in the Texas foster care system as a court-appointed special advocate, CASA, and I was still in the pharmaceutical industry at that time, and I started to see how that children that were, you know, just had a bad rap in life and got placed in the system were literally a profit center for psychiatric drugging. And because of the Texas medication algorithm project that we had here, they were getting not only, you know, major psychiatric drugs, but the most expensive drugs that were on the market, and the taxpayers were paying for them. So I really became alarmed about that when I saw that all my little 2-, 3-, and 4-year-old kiddos, they would come into the system and they were immediately drugged.
Incredible. Just incredible. Well, we're going to be going to a break here shortly, and we're going to be coming back with your calls. I see we've got Aaron from Nevada, Joe from Pennsylvania, Salivia from California coming back. The guest here in studio on the Alex Jones Show is Gwen Olson, Confessions of an RX Drug Pusher. We'll be taking your calls on the other side of this break. Real quickly, I want you to think about what is the most astonishing thing that parents out there need to know today, the most astonishing thing that you've seen as an insider, and share that with us. You can start now and we'll finish it.
Okay.
We'll finish it on the other side.
As a mother myself, and as I said, as a child advocate, the most astonishing thing that I saw was every manufacturer that I worked for in the pharmaceutical industry brought home the fact that our children were the most lucrative expansion market available to the industry.
All right. Sorry to cut you off. We're about to go to break. It's all about money, folks. Making money off of children. Like the Matrix, but it's the pharmaceutical matrix. Stay with us here on the Alex Jones Show. We'll be back with Gwen Olson on the other side of this break. Okay. All right, folks. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. Thank you for continuing with us today. This is Mike Adams filling in for Alex today, who is on an airplane right now at this very moment. And by the way, we just received a report right before he boarded. He called in to the crew here and said that he had an incident with TSA at the airport, I believe in Vegas there. I don't know the details of that, but you can bet that it's something he's going to be talking about in great detail tonight on InfoWars Nightly News. So be sure that you don't miss that episode, because Alex is going to lay it out for you. I mean, he's been traveling. He's probably a little on edge from being perhaps accosted, perhaps felt up by the TSA. I don't know what happened, but you can bet it wasn't nice, okay? It wasn't polite. Just read Jesse Ventura's lawsuit if you want details on what these people do to you. Hey, maybe they saw, maybe they said, hey, this is Alex Jones. We're going to give him a little extra, you know, just to drive home the point that you're supposed to be a slave and stop telling the truth on InfoWars. Who knows? But that's coming up tonight on InfoWars Nightly News, so don't miss that. Now, we're continuing in the studio right now with Gwen Olson, a former pharmaceutical insider, a very successful sales rep, marketing rep for the pharma industry, who has now written a book called Confessions of an RX Drug Pusher. Well, that book has been out, what, a year? 2 years?
Actually, it came out in 2005, and I just revamped in 2009.
Okay, so just the update came out a couple of years ago. Also, we're going to be taking your calls here in this segment, and the number is 1-800-259-9231. Please call in on this topic, and we welcome your calls. Love to hear from you. And you got your headphones on? You ready to go?
I got my headphones on.
All right, here we go. Aaron in Nevada, you are on the air with Gwen Olson. Hi, Aaron.
Hi. Hey, thank you very much. Well, just like on a positive note, is it a good business opportunity potentially to get into selling pharmaceuticals to, like, you know, the retiring baby boomer generation type of thing, a wholesale or type, you know, maybe internet retail, something like that?
good one, Aaron. Aaron's playing along with us here. Clever question.
Right.
So, yeah.
Obviously, Aaron, it's a very lucrative position. With the baby boomer population being what it is, we obviously are going to be all using drugs, or they're hoping that we're all going to be using drugs to the tune of 5 to 6 items. However, I think that my own advice personally would be not to get into the pharmaceutical industry, because it's a house of cards that will implode.
Oh, that's good news.
Yes.
I'm sure we'll be talking to you more as that happens. It is a house of cards. Aaron, did you have a follow-up question?
No.
Okay, well, that was a good one, though. Thanks for your call. Let's go on to Joe in Pennsylvania here. Joe, you're on the air with Gwen Olson. Go ahead, please.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, doing good.
I got a lot of questions. I take drugs, and not all drugs are bad. But first question, your remember back when AIDS came out, they were doing all these experimental drugs and the community was screaming that they come out faster. So they started fast tracking the drugs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that the catalyst that kept fast tracking going? In your opinion, first question.
We almost out of time. Go ahead and answer that as quickly as you can.
Actually, I believe that it was the PDUFA legislation that came out that caused that. That's a Prescription Drug User Fee Act. And that was probably what caused the fast tracking. And it was about that same time and for that issue.
Okay, great question. Sorry, we're almost out of time. Gwen, can you stay with us for a couple minutes on the other side of this break? Stay with us here on InfoWars.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, welcome back, folks, to the Alex Jones Show. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, editor of Natural News, filling in for Alex today, who's on an airplane right now after suffering some kind of event with the TSA in Las Vegas. I don't know what exactly happened, but he is going to be covering that tonight on InfoWars Nightly News. So be sure to catch that tonight on PrisonPlanet.tv as we hear more from Alex about what really happened with the TSA in Nevada. That should be a fascinating story. I'm going to tune in myself and find out more details about that. We're joined in studio right now, wrapping up with Gwen Olson, author of Confessions of an RX Drug Pusher. And I would just have a couple more minutes with Gwen here. We've been taking some calls. I'd like to. Are you okay to take another call or two?
Fine.
We've already had a couple of interesting callers. So let's see if we can up the ante here with even more. Steven from Florida, thank you for holding. You're on the air with Gwen. Go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, my fellow terrorists.
Yeah, good afternoon. Yeah, here we are. You found us.
Gwen, I wanted to say I am so glad that you're on here covering this topic. I'm an insurance agent, and I run into people all the time. I mean, I've seen seniors on 19 medications a day. It's ridiculous. I've got a niece that's on 6 of these psychotropic medications. And I'm trying to get her, you know, to get out of that whole system. But here's what I wanted to ask about. I had seen documentation. Alex has covered this in the past on his show. And I just wanted, as a former insider, I'm glad I can say former, and I know you are too. But the connections, because, you know, what I've seen is that basically the FDA is run by the pharmaceutical industry. They're all former executives and people within it. You know, that run that whole thing. But I've seen documentation to the fact that at the end of World War II, our so-called intelligence networks had a secretive covert operation called Operation Paperclip, where they secretly transported, smuggled these Nazi eugenicists out of Germany and transported them over here. And they're basically the ones that started the pharmaceutical industry. So what I wanted to say, and then I'd like you to respond to this, is that the issue here is not just money, although that is an issue. You know, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil.
I'm going to ask Gwen to go ahead and comment on that because we've only got a couple of minutes left. That's a great question. You're right. You're right on the point here, Stephen. Go ahead, Gwen.
Okay, but exactly what was the question? It was so multifaceted.
Well, I think he's asking, do you agree with that assessment that Nazi Germany scientists were brought over and made part of the pharmaceutical industry?
And that's absolute truth to that information. I've also seen all of that, yes.
What about the eugenics agenda?
And the eugenics agenda, I do believe very much so that that's a big part of what the psychiatric drugging is all about. I believe that's what the vaccine industry is all about. I believe that's what a lot of it's all about. But, you know, it's not a subject matter that we that we broach frequently with the general public, because people do not believe that this could be taking place. And what I'm trying to get people to do is do their own due diligence and their own discovery process that this is, in fact, what's taking place.
Well, well said, Gwen. And thank you, Stephen, for your question. You were right on the money on that one. Gwen, I want to thank you for your time here today.
I'd love to come back.
We'd love to have you back. Again, the book is Confessions of an RX Drug Pusher. Our guest has been Gwen Olson here on The Alex Jones Show, and we'll be talking to her again more in the future as things unfold in this industry. My name's Mike Adams. I'm filling in for Alex today, and if you stay with us, a lot more excitement and satire and real breaking news is coming up on the other side of this break, so stay with us. We'll be right back.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Okay, we are back here on The Alex Jones Show. Thank you for joining us. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, editor of naturalnews.com, filling in for Alex today, who's in the air on an airplane right now. Coming back, he'll be joining us on the InfoWars Nightly News tonight to give us some breaking news about his incident. I don't know what it is with the TSA in Las Vegas. Apparently something took place there, and we're going to find out about it tonight as Alex returns. I guess he'll be landing in Austin in a couple of hours, and then he'll be on the nightly news. That's the plan. So be sure to tune in on prisonplanet.tv for the nightly news. We just finished a segment with Gwen Olson, a former pharmaceutical insider. What a great segment. What a great woman that is. You know, it takes courage to give up a six-figure salary and tell the truth and make less money and help save children from the chemical poisoning of the pharmaceutical industry, and be willing to be criticized for it, and be willing to go out in the mainstream media and tell your truth, knowing that you're going to have an entire army of public relations trolls aligned against you, because the pharmaceutical industry hires PR companies to run online, sort of like smash and grab operations. I don't know, a drive-by shootings, you might say, an online drive-by shooting, a drive-by blogging, maybe you could say. They hire companies to do that, and they run around trying to discredit everybody. Hey, they talked about that right here on InfoWars. Every time a video is posted from Alex, immediately there are 12 negative comments or negative votes just within 60 seconds. How does that happen? It's because these companies hire all these trolls to run around attacking people like me or people like Alex because, or people like Gwen, because we are willing to tell the truth. And that's why we are winning. That's why InfoWars is expanding like crazy. That's why InfoWars is having such success in reaching people and opening minds and raising awareness, because we are willing to tell the truth, even at the risk of being criticized. We don't care. We don't care if a bunch of paid PR trolls say that we're making stuff up. No, we're bringing you the actual truth, regardless of whatever consequences happen out there. I can sleep much better at night knowing that we're telling the truth rather than just doing something for money, which is what the pharmaceutical reps are doing. And we talked about the anthrax vaccine. Let me get into that segment. Here we have the Washington Post reporting that the anthrax vaccine's effectiveness in children stirs a debate. The White House is trying to decide whether they should inject children with this anthrax vaccine to determine if it works. And they think, well, this is a bioethics question. So they have a group of bioethicists, a bunch of advisors, who are trying to argue, yeah, we should use children as guinea pigs now, because we might be able to save children in the future if there is an anthrax attack in America. Then we'll have a vaccine ready to inject into them. But the cost of doing that today is that we're going to have to probably sacrifice a few children today, because, you know, the governments of the world, the big controllers, are always into child sacrifice. That goes back throughout history. They know some children might die. Some children might have permanent damage, neurological side effects, who knows what. But they are arguing that that's going to be worth it. Well, I say that's nonsense. That's complete nonsense. First of all, the children aren't going to encounter anthrax just at the playground at school. There would have to be a bioterrorism attack in order to expose children to anthrax. And secondly, what's this idea? Who's going to make the money from this anyway? Of course, the pharmaceutical industries. So this is just another example of trying to use innocent children, the bodies of American children, to make more money for the pharmaceutical industry. And they're trying to justify it by saying, oh, this is ethical. We could save more lives in the future by sacrificing a few now. Isn't that what every tyrant throughout history has always said? Isn't that the entire eugenics movement in a nutshell? Yeah, we can save the human race by sacrificing a few people today, making them infertile or just outright killing them, and then the human race will be better. That's what they say. Yeah, that's what the whole eugenicist movement is all about. But my question about this is, how do you know if the vaccine really worked? Suppose they inject these children with this anthrax vaccine, this experimental vaccine, the same one they injected into the soldiers in the Gulf War, many of which are suffering serious neurological side effects, you know, Gulf War syndrome. And that's a big deal. That's real. You can't call all these soldiers liars. They are really experiencing these symptoms. But how do you know if this even works? Are they going to take the children, inject them with the vaccines, and then expose them to anthrax and find out how many live and how many die? I mean, or how would you know if it's even effective? But I have another theory. I think the measure of effectiveness is not how many lives it saves. I think the real measure of effectiveness is how many children it injures so that they can become future customers of the pharmaceutical industry. You see, this is the main point of vaccines today. It's not really to protect you from the flu. You can protect yourself from the flu with vitamin D. You can protect yourself with good nutrition, with sunlight, with basic immune boosting strategies that are very easy, very safe, very effective. The point of vaccines is to make you a victim. It is to trap you in the medical system, so that you have kidney problems, so that you have liver disorders, so that you have a neurological problem that requires more treatment, or cancers that require more treatment down the road. That treatment pays big bucks. The drug industry knows that the more kids they can get vaccinated today, the more money they're going to make from those children when they grow up and become adults seeking health care, so-called health care. So, and we know this is true. The Institute of Medicine, even in its report, and by the way, it is a pro-vaccine organization, it admitted that the MMR vaccines contain live measles viruses, okay? It admitted that those vaccines cause measles in some children. It admitted that there are side effects. And again, this is an organization that usually covers for the vaccine industry. But now, to make things even crazier, check this out. Where is this? The media is pushing the success of the experimental GlaxoSmithKline malaria vaccine, but they're ignoring the deadly side effects, you see. Yeah, they're saying this malaria vaccine is a big success now. It's all a spin story. It's all a hoax. It's not really a success because you've got the side effects, you see. Yeah, okay, if the vaccine is effective, it might reduce malaria by some percentage, but what about the increase in the percentage of those people suffering neurological side effects? What about the kidney failure? What about the cancers? What about the adjuvants that are used in these vaccines that cause brain damage, that cause inflammation of the brain? What about the increases in the cases of Alzheimer's down the road? So you prevent maybe 5% of the malaria cases today, and then you have a 40% increase in Alzheimer's and cancer and diabetes. They call that a success. Of course it's a success to the pharmaceutical industry, because again, they make money off the long term when you stay sick. And vaccines are designed to keep you sick. We know that. That's the truth. That's what we're going to keep saying right here on the Alex Jones Show, no matter what. I tell you what, these companies, crimes against humanity, that's what we are dealing with. All right, let me get back on track with what we have going on. We have coming up on November 1, and I want to encourage you to get involved with this. And Jaron, I hate to keep asking you to do stuff, but can you bring up rawmilkfreedomriders.com? And for those of you on the radio, you can't see this, but that's the website, rawmilkfreedomriders.com. It's a nonprofit, non-commercial website. This is a site that's focused on this event coming up November 1, where a bunch of moms who are really fed up with the FDA's criminality of raw milk. They are going to buy milk in Maryland, I believe, in Pennsylvania, and they're gonna drive it across the state line. Not Pennsylvania. I'm sorry. Look at the website. Here we go. They're gonna buy milk. They're gonna cross the state line with it, which is a federal crime according to the FDA. And then they're gonna drink that raw milk and they're gonna give it to their children right in front of the FDA headquarters on November 1. And you are invited. And guess who else is gonna be there? Adam Kokesh from RT, from Adam versus the Man. He is riding along with the moms to be part of this Raw Milk Freedom Riders. Guess who else is gonna be there? Another GCN radio host, Robert Scott Bell, is gonna be there reporting live. Maybe he can call into the show here. I don't know. And if there's anything interesting going on that day, they could be arrested at the border. They could have their vehicles confiscated. They could be arrested for feeding raw milk to their children in front of the FDA headquarters. Could be TSA agents swarming the area. The time and location, November 1, 12 noon. The location is the FDA headquarters in Silver Spring, Maryland. That's on New Hampshire Avenue. The FDA headquarters, right across the street from the FDA headquarters, is where all this is going down. A bunch of raw milk criminals are going to drink milk. This is a Gandhi-like moment for raw milk in America. It's like the Salt March to collect salt under the tyranny of the British Empire. But now we're going to drink raw milk under the tyranny of the FDA in America. And by the way, joining us coming up at the bottom of this hour is Liz Rietzig, who is going to give us a lot more details about this event. But the bottom line is you are invited. You are invited. Come join the event. Get your cameras rolling. You see, the tyrants, when you have enough mass of people there, especially people with video cameras, the tyrants back off. They're like cockroaches. They hate the light. They hate that. They will flee and they'll just try to ignore the whole event. So we'll be able to pull it off as a great success. But we're going to go up against these tyrants in America and say it is outrageous that transporting raw milk across state lines is a crime in America today, while the Fed paying trillions of dollars through the Treasury to these corrupt elite global banksters. That's legal? Really? You can give them our money, but we can't drink raw milk? Are you kidding me? Well, stay with us here on the Alex Jones Show. We got a lot more to cover on the other side of this break. This is Mike Adams filling in. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Money. All right. We are back here on the Alex Jones Show. Thanks for joining us. Wow. We already had a hard-hitting show and a lot more coming up. As I alluded to in the last segment, we've got Liz Rietzig coming on to join us at the bottom of the hour, just a few minutes away, to talk about the Raw Milk Freedom Riders event taking place in just a few days. It's happening in front of the FDA headquarters. They're going to be chugging raw milk there, sort of like Gandhi led his people to on the salt march to go collect salt. Saying, you know, hey, the British Empire cannot prevent us from harvesting our own salt. It's a basic human right, right? Of course it is. Just like the basic human right of drinking whatever kind of milk you want to drink or choosing what kind of food you would like to consume. You know, and look, here's the issue on this. We are not saying that we want to force everybody in America to drink raw milk. I don't even drink raw milk. I don't drink any milk. That's just not part of my diet. But if I were to choose a milk, it would be a raw milk for sure. But I just don't drink milk. It's a personal choice. You see, I believe in freedom of choice. We here at InfoWars believe in freedom, the freedom to choose what you want to eat. And we say that American consumers should have the free choice to choose. Okay, if you want the homogenized, pasteurized, factory-made, hormone-injected, antibiotic-contaminated milk in a plastic bisphenol A carton, you can buy that. That's your choice. But if you don't want that, if you want unpasteurized, unhomogenized, non-processed, non-antibiotic-ridden, whatever milk, if you want it raw, if you want it fresh from a farm in a glass jug like the way they used to sell it, That should be your choice too, you see. That's the difference between people who believe in liberty versus people who believe in tyranny. The tyrants say, we, the government, we're going to choose for you, for your safety, for your own safety. We're going to fumigate your almonds. We're going to irradiate your spinach. We're going to force you to pasteurize your milk, and we're going to criminalize everybody who doesn't follow what we say. Those are the thoughts of tyrants. The liberty-minded people, people who really believe in freedom, say, no, we have the choice. As long as we are made aware, why not put a warning label on it if the FDA is so concerned that raw milk is going to be so deadly dangerous for people, which it isn't, but that's their screwy line. But if they're so concerned, why not put a little warning, just mandate a little warning label. Warning, the consumption of unpasteurized milk may contain living bacteria. Well, yeah, we want that. That's the point. That's why we buy that stuff, because we want it to be living. We don't want everything dead. We don't want all dead food in our bodies, which make dead bodies. You know, why is the FDA crying over spilt milk, so to speak? Sorry, it's insane. They put warning labels on mercury in fish. If you go to a sushi restaurant, they have a warning there that says what? Warning, the consumption of uncooked raw fish may be associated with some risk of, I don't know, contamination. I don't know the exact language, but they put a warning label on that. Hey, they put warning labels on cigarettes. Warning, you smoke the cigarette, you might get lung cancer, but they still let you buy it. They still let you buy it. And I actually agree with that. I don't smoke. I don't advocate smoking. But I think that American citizens under the Bill of Rights in a nation, in the land of the free, should have the choice to buy things that they want to consume, even if those things may not be great for them, for their health. You know, and frankly, I think smoking an actual tobacco leaf that isn't processed, that isn't made with all those chemical contaminants, like the way the American Indians used to do it, is not that bad for you. Not compared to getting injected with vaccines that have aluminum in them. That's way worse for your health than smoking actual tobacco leaf without all the processed additives. I mean, the main reason cigarettes are dangerous is not because of the tobacco. It's because all the junk they put in them. I mean, if you inhale smoke from toxic additives, that's bad for you. Anyway, the FDA lets you buy that stuff as long as it's got a label on it. So why not raw milk? So that's the whole point of the Raw Milk Freedom Riders. And again, coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to be joined by Liz Rietzig to go over that. A couple more breaking news items for you today. Cell phone towers are damaging the biological systems of birds, insects, and humans. This is from Activist Post. The electromagnetic radiation, yet more research about that and how it's damaging animal systems. Remember that experiment where they put cell phones under beehives? And then when the cell phone was transmitting a call, the bees, their little bee dance got all confused and they started going crazy and they couldn't find their food and the colonies actually suffered as a result. Yeah, electromagnetic radiation, it disrupts biological systems. More research coming out on that. More knowledge of why cell phones holding them up to your head is a bad idea for your health. Well, a lot more ahead here on The Alex Jones Show. I'm Mike Adams filling in. Stay with us on the other side. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back on The Alex Jones Show. I like this music selection today, guys. Always keeping us on our toes with something interesting to listen to. We need some Christmas music, you know? I started seeing Christmas gifts already. I mean, Christmas decorations in the stores. It's not even Halloween. I'm not even past the Grim Reaper at the CVS pharmacy yet, and now I'm seeing Christmas stuff. How about some sleigh bells ringing in the next segment? That'd be funny. All right. As promised, we're going to be joined in this segment by Liz Rietzig. She is the co-founder of the Farm Food Freedom Coalition and is also a chapter leader with the Weston A. Price Foundation, which has been a really important nonprofit group covering this whole raw milk food freedom issue. Remember, folks, this isn't really about raw milk. Raw milk is just the traction point. This is where we're gaining traction on this issue, the leverage point, you might say. It's really about all your food freedom choices. It's about whether or not you, your children, your grandchildren will have the right and the freedom to choose what they want to eat in America for generations to come. This raw milk issue is simply the pivotal issue that is going to set precedent. And in order to help restore and protect our freedoms, Liz Rietzig and many other people have put together this Raw Milk Freedom Riders event taking place November 1. That's right, a bunch of raw milk smuggling moms are going to face off against the FDA. Sounds like an Ultimate Fighting Championship episode. Raw milk moms versus the FDA. Okay, Liz, are you with us on the phone now?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, Liz, thank you for joining us. It's great to have you on. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me, Mike.
Yeah, well, thank you for taking your time out of your busy schedule. I know you've been working hard on organizing this event, getting moms together, getting the press to the event. Can you give us an overview? How's it shaping up now? It's only a few days away. What's it looking like in terms of publicity and press coverage so far?
Well, we've gotten a fair amount of press coverage on the lead up to the event. And of course, it's going to be pivotal to get a lot of press coverage the day of. And so it's always a challenge getting them out there, but hopefully we will with the coverage that we've gotten so far. Planning it has gone wonderfully. People are really stepping up. I'm really pleased to see how many people from across the country, and moms especially, are coming to the D.C. area specifically for this event. It's wonderful.
Well, that's great to hear. And I know we've got, again, Adam Kokesh from RT has said he's going to be there riding along. We've got Robert Scott Bell from the GCN radio network, same network as Alex here. He's going to be an embedded reporter. I wonder if he's going to wear a flak jacket, you know, just in case the FDA brings guns.
Maybe he'd be better off with a raincoat in case anybody spills milk on him.
Yeah, exactly. That's the deal. This is about milk, and you mentioned off the air milk and cookies. Are they going to be dipping the milk in the cookies? That sounds very like criminal activity.
Right. Well, yeah, once we bring the milk from Pennsylvania into Maryland, we'll drive all the way straight to the FDA headquarters in Silver Spring. And there we'll meet with other families and other individuals who are there to support the effort. And we'll be passing out milk and cookies. Great American tradition.
Wow. Wow, passing out milk and cookies. I had a little slip up there. I'm dipping the cookies in the milk, not the other way around. Right. But I imagine you could do a lot of dangerous things with milk there on November 1. You could have like water guns loaded with milk. You could have milk squirt gun fights. That could be an act of terrorism.
Yeah, we'll probably just stick to drinking it.
Just drinking
and,
it?
Of course, dipping our cookies in it.
Are you going to drink it out of an alcohol chugging bong type device? Is that what you're going to do, you criminals?
No, actually, that's a little risque for the moms involved. It'll just be a straight up paper cups and milk and cookies.
All right, so milk and cookies, and this is milk that was milked from a cow, what, a few hours earlier or the day before? What's the schedule on
It'll
that?
It'll be milk from the day of and possibly the day before.
Ah, okay, so fresh milk might
nice
still be warm,
fresh.
In fact.
Well, no, they're going to cool it.
Ah, okay.
We'll get it cooled.
You're going to have chilled milk. Again, the website is rawmilkfreedomriders.com. If you want to be part of this, you are welcome to join. Liz, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think, is the FDA going to just try to ignore this because they know this is bad press if they arrest these moms? Or do you think they're going to actually stop everybody and say, halt, criminals, and with your raw milk smuggling across state line? What do you think is going to go on?
Well, the most likely scenario is, of course, that they'll try their best to just totally ignore us.
Yeah.
And that would be fine because we're going to have a really jolly time coming across the state lines, driving down 95 with a caravan of raw milk mothers and letting everybody know what we're doing and then going straight to FDA headquarters and having milk and cookies on a beautiful autumn afternoon. So they're probably going to try to ignore us. That's the most likely. And if they do, we'll have a great time with it afterwards in the press. If they say it's so dangerous, why are they ignoring it?
Well, that's the thing. Now, if they ignore it, aren't they setting a precedent that they are ignoring serious crimes taking place in America? Didn't Max Kane, another raw milk advocate or a food freedom advocate, I saw a YouTube video where he called the FDA and he tried to report this future crime. And it took
him
like...
He did.
Go ahead, Liz.
He reported it right to John Sheehan, who is the head of some department there controlling milk, and he left a message on John Sheehan's voicemail about it. So it will be interesting to see how they respond or if they choose to not respond.
I want to see a Photoshop poster of Janet Napolitano with a raw milk mustache that says, if you see something, say something. That's what I...
You know, that's interesting, too, because we have those signs all over the D.C. area with a phone number.
Oh, you do? Oh, good.
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay, so if they ignore you, which is likely to happen, because that's what... Remember the TSA on that day that was supposed to be the opt-out day, so the TSA turned off all the scanners? And then the mainstream media reported, well, nobody protested. Well, gee, I wonder, because they turned them off. I mean, they know how to play these games. So the FDA will likely ignore you. But then they're saying, well, obviously this is okay to do, because I guess they're just going to selectively prosecute it, right? So if they can get you off camera, behind the scenes, at your own ranch, then they're going to bring in the tyranny. But if you're doing it out in public, they're going to say, that's no big deal, hands off.
Right. It will set a precedent either way.
All right. Well, if the raw milk moms are allowed to drink their milk, and are they going to have their kids are there too, right?
Right. A lot of us will be bringing our children and giving them the milk right there, even though the FDA has strong language around that.
Ooh, you're not supposed to feed your kids actual raw milk. I mean, that's a whole different level of child abuse, I think.
Well, they call it playing Russian roulette.
Okay. Maybe they'll have Child Protective Services to greet you there on the highway. Take away your kids. How dare you feed them raw, wholesome milk. You got to feed them microwave macaroni and cheese if you want the state to approve of your child's nutrition. And hey, maybe they'll have roadside vaccination points for you right there, too.
Oh, that would be great. You know, we all need those.
All right. Liz, are you up to taking some phone calls from some folks who might be interested? They might have some comments on this.
Sure, absolutely.
Guys, can you fire that up? I'd like to take some calls perhaps in the next, maybe in this segment, maybe the next segment. If you're interested in calling, you got a comment on this or a question for Liz, call us at 1-800-259-9231 and please be on topic with this. This is about the Raw Milk Freedom Riders taking place November 1, just coming up in a few days. All these moms are going to be smuggling. They're going to be raw milk smugglers like Han Solo in the Millennium Falcon. He had his little smuggling compartments. You might not know this, Liz, because this is a guy thing, you know, Millennium Falcon smuggling. Well, maybe he could have had raw milk in there. Maybe they should remake Star Wars with raw milk.
Yeah, there's a lot of parallels. There really are.
Okay, if this is a success, what's the next step? What do you plan to do after this?
Well, I guess it depends on what response we get, if any, from the FDA. If they ignore us, there are definitely plans to continue this type of action. It's very needed right now, where people are directly challenging the FDA on their abuse of us and abuse of tax dollars, and just how gargantuan they've gotten as an agency, and they're just stripping us all of our rights. So there's definite plans to continue this type of action.
You mean,
what? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, first of all, I want to give out your website, farmfoodfreedom.org. That's farmfoodfreedom.org. So if you're listening, you want to check that out, go to that website. You'll learn a lot more there. It's up on the screen for those of you watching the simulcast on prisonplanet.tv. But Liz, I mean, what do you have against LA County and their expenditure of millions of dollars to hire spies and infiltrators to take covert video images of customers members at Rawsome Foods who are acquiring raw milk? I mean, isn't that a good use of taxpayer money?
Oh, it's absurd. And the same thing happened here in Maryland with our buying club. The FDA implanted an undercover spy to spy on us for a year and a half because we were getting milk directly from a farm in Pennsylvania, and they didn't like that. So your tax dollars, hard at work, spying on an Amish farmer and a few of his customers.
Well, you know, again, how dare the Amish think that they can subsist without government telling them what to do and what to think and how to act and what to buy? You know, how dare they? All this independent thinking, this is very, very dangerous for the empire, which, of course, has to shove the foods down our throats that it wants us to eat I figure, you know, hey, before long, with all the people dying from the vaccines, we might be eating Soylent Green.
That's kind of a scary thought there.
Yeah, well, hey, what are they going to do with, well, I'm not even going to go there. That gets pretty gross. Let's get back on track with Raw Milk Freedom. What, rawmilkfreedomriders.com. What else, Liz, should people know about this upcoming event or how they can participate in it?
Well, we're having a caravan of mothers going from Maryland into Pennsylvania, getting raw milk, and then driving back to Maryland, crossing the state borders, and we've told the FDA where we're crossing the line, so they're welcome to meet us there if they want. And then we're going straight to the FDA headquarters in Silver Spring, where we will be holding a peaceful demonstration and passing out the milk and cookies. Our request, we have two requests with this specific event. One is to change that ban on interstate commerce. The other request is that they stop going after our farmers aggressively. Just stop. There's no place on one of our independent family farms for guns and federal marshals. There's just no place for them.
Yeah, they do. And they bring guns to the scene. I mean, they hire federal marshals, and they hire really sort of hit squads to bring firearms and flak jackets, you know, Kevlar vests and helmets and the whole get-up.
And they refuse to have a conversation with us. Raw milk supporters and advocates have been emailing and calling and requesting meetings with FDA and state-level health departments and ag departments for years now, and they refuse to have dialogue with us on this. The end result is they say, because we said so, that's it. It is not open for debate. And then the FDA just refuses to engage, except when they come onto our farms and our buying clubs and our co-ops with guns.
Well, that's a form of conversation. I mean, how can you say they're not conversing with you when they're bringing, you know, 9mm rounds? That's sort of a message.
Indeed it is, isn't it?
Yeah, very, very much a message. Now, this sounds really to me sort of like an Occupy the FDA type of movement. I like that. I think we should have an Occupy the FDA kind of revolt. I think we will, by the way. I think it'll get bigger and bigger down the road as more people realize what's really going on.
I totally agree. And I think of raw milk as sort of a gateway food, because once people realize the propaganda around raw milk and they realize the true health benefits of it, that opens up, for a lot of people, opens up whole new doors that they never knew existed, and opens their minds to exploring other things that the government is telling us and lying to us about, and gives people a whole new realization. Well, if they can lie to us about milk, what else are they lying to us about?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a pretty long list. We don't have time to cover all that right here on the show. What about the criticism so far? I know that some of the organized trolls out there, the on the payroll, the FDA spies, the infiltrators, you know, the evil miscreants of death and dead foods, they've been taking pot shots at you and me and others about this. What are you hearing so far? What are their lame attempts to try to shoot this thing down before it even gets going?
Oh, I haven't seen any of that. I don't know.
Well, good. Good. Well, maybe that's because they know you're armed with your milk squirt guns that you're bringing to the scene there. No joke on that. You could be arrested as terrorists if you bring that to the scene. But I've seen cases where people are saying, you know, this is about saving, the FDA has to save children's lives, so it has to have food standards. Why can't we have food standards? What's your response to that criticism?
Well, you know, I have five little children, and so I've gone through five pregnancies, and during any of the pregnancies, I could drink into oblivion or smoke or be around secondhand smoke or any of these horrible choices, and I have that choice, but yet I don't have the choice to go and get fresh milk for myself and my children and bring it back and give it to them, and, you know, I could feed my children soda pop, lollipops, and fast food all day long. Perfectly acceptable. In fact, they would probably prefer that. But yet, they don't want me to choose raw milk. All of a sudden, that's the big no-no.
No, this isn't the only thing. I've covered cases of raw food vegans who are feeding their children a lot of juice and vegetable juice and fresh juices, and they get visited by Child Protective Services that said, well, that diet's unhealthy. You got to feed your kid junk food, and you got to take them out to, you know, places like McDonald's, which is booming in the economy now. You got to feed them junk foods because that's considered mainstream health. That's what the state wants your kids to eat. And if you don't do that, you're a bad parent. Bad parent.
Right.
it's pretty insane.
We can choose these options, but yet they don't want to let us choose the healthy option.
Well, but what else? I mean, they want to control every area of your child's health. They want to control what you inject your child with in terms of vaccines, what your child can drink, what your child can eat, what your child can think through public education and mainstream television. I mean, where does this end? You know, this is why I'm glad that you're standing up, Liz, and taking this fight for freedom right to the front lines.
Yeah, and you know, there's a whole bunch of really pissed off moms about this.
Well, they have a right to be.
Yes, exactly.
This is a big issue. Well, hopefully, okay, all of you who are listening, maybe a lot of husbands are listening right now, talk to your wives, get them out there to join this Raw Milk Freedom Riders event taking place November 1. It's going to be a caravan of vehicles. This is going to have major press coverage. Now, I don't know, the mainstream media might try to ignore it because they don't want you to know the truth about this. They don't want you to have options. They don't want you to have freedom. They want you to be obedient. Don't think for yourself. But we are going to give it mainstream coverage here on InfoWars, on my website, naturalnews.com as well. All over the alternative news community, you're going to be hearing about this issue. This is a Gandhi-like moment for food freedom in America. Liz, can you stay with us for one more segment?
Yep.
All right, we'll take calls on the other side of this break. Get your phone lines warmed up. Have your questions ready for Liz. We'll be right back here on the Alex Jones Show. Thanks for listening in so far. A lot more on the other side of this break. Yeah, welcome back on this Tuesday here on the Alex Jones Show. I'm filling in for Alex, who will be back in Austin tonight with some breaking information about his, I don't know, what do you want to call it, an event, something, an encounter, something that took place with the TSA in Vegas, probably accosted him, probably, you know, violated his personal space or something. That's not okay. They should know who Alex Jones is. You know, the guy is the best, is the patriot of America today. He is the last person. They should give him a gun to go on the airplane and shoot terrorists. I mean, they should be like, you're an air marshal now. Just get on there and defend Americans, because that's what he does every day, is he defends Americans. They should, you know, give him some frangible ammo and a little bit of training. You want to make the airplane safe? I mean, I'm telling you, just take all the ex-cops or active cops, take active military duty people, just let them fly with their firearms and frangible ammo. The terrorists would never try anything. I'm sorry, I'm getting off target, getting off track here. We have Liz Rietzig joining us right now. She is the co-founder of the Farm Food Freedom Coalition, a chapter leader with the Weston A. Price Foundation. And we've got some callers lined up to ask some questions. By the way, Liz, are you still with us?
I'm still here.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to get off track with my air security commentary.
But, that was interesting.
Terrorists don't like people with firearms. That's for sure. They always strike the areas where they know everybody's disarmed. Like the line to go into airport security. It's like it's a big, juicy terror target. Anyway, okay, enough of that. Let's go to Randy in Ohio. Randy, you're on the air. Go ahead, Randy.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing great, man.
Good. I didn't catch your name. Hi, Liz. I caught your name. I didn't catch the host's name, but I listen all the time to Alex. You know, the fact is, what I wanted to bring up is that from the time my grandmother had a cow, her name was Bossy, and from the time I was 9 years old until I was 17, we had 5 gallons of milk about every, at least, twice a week that came into our house, and when it was cold in the winter, we put it out on the back porch to keep it cold because we had 5 gallon buckets of it. I drank this milk every day. I would come home and Bossy was great because she not only provided for us, she provided for 3 other families. She produced about 12 gallons from my memory as a child, 12 gallons of milk. A day, And
well, how are you still alive, Randy? According to the FDA, man, you should have died a long time ago from that dangerous milk.
Oh well, I know, it's terrible. And you know what I did? I'm kind of a little chemist, so you know, I said, wait a minute, it's milk, and I'd look on top of that bucket, and there would be maybe 30 to 40% of that was pure cream.
Yeah.
And so I'd take it and I'd skim that cream off when we'd get the gallons of milk, and then I'd take it and put it in the blender, and I'd run it in the blender for about 10 minutes, and you know, it'd turn into nice little gold nuggets, and I'd make fresh butter, and then I'd press out the buttermilk from it, and you know, make
fresh butter. Real honest food in America. I'm glad. Yeah, you are exactly right on, Randy. I'm glad you shared. Do you have a question for Liz?
No, I'm a terrorist. I'm a terrorist because I was actually taking whole natural food, and turning it into the products that we get every day from the store that isn't nearly as natural as that.
Yeah, how dare you, Randy? I'm sorry to cut you off, but we are going to a break here, and but good comments, Randy. Thank you for your call. A very, very valuable story there from your childhood. I want to thank you, Liz, for joining us today. A lot of great information from you. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we enjoyed having you on. And folks, the website is farmfoodfreedom.org if you want to hear more about that event, and rawmilkfreedomriders.com. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Yeah, we are back here. Thank you for joining us once again on the Alex Jones Show. I'm Mike Adams, editor of National News, filling in for Alex today. And Alex will be on InfoWars Nightly News this evening with some interesting information about the TSA. And now I'm going to go through some headlines, and then we've got another guest coming up at the bottom of this hour. Daniel Vitalis will be joining us on the subject of what we call surthrival. Not just survival, but actually thriving through difficult times, which are well upon us right now. We're also going to be talking about public protest, riots, war in the Middle East. But first, some of these headlines. Gaddafi buried in a secret desert location. All right, whatever they want to say. And bin Laden was killed, 9 or 10 times, and they threw him in the ocean. Right, whatever. You just don't know. You can't trust in any of this anymore. Maybe he is buried in a secret desert location, but that's just a distraction from the real issue, which is that it was an Al-Qaeda rebel uprising funded by globalists to take out Gaddafi and install another future enemy that can drive the war machine even further. All right, another news. We've got a Mexican ID becomes valid ID in Sonoma County. All right, so California's driver's license is now acceptable as a valid ID, of course, but also now is a card issued by the Mexican consulate. Yeah, so just another way for, let's say, non-documented immigrants to come in and start collecting more benefits on the backs of the American taxpayers. You know, this issue is something that my position on has really changed and evolved over the last few years. You know, as a compassionate person, I always want to reach out and help people who are in need, but I've seen just this total abuse of the American welfare systems, this total abuse of the hospitals and the medical systems, to the point where there's Americans, and Californians especially, are paying so much money to those who are not legally here that it's bankrupting us. Okay, it's bankrupting us. Something else has got to be done. I'm not denying that these are human beings who deserve their own freedom, but they gotta go through the right channels. They gotta contribute. They don't pay taxes most of the time. It's all under the table, and they, you know, the cops wave them on through. The border patrol waves them on through most of the time. It's a bad situation. Now, all right, Biden says, Joe Biden, nobody can look you in the eye and tell you the stimulus did not create jobs. Sort of like a Clinton finger wagging episode, I guess. But Fred Lucas reports, this is from Fred Lucas Post. It's at $412,000 per job. Yeah, they created jobs. Gee, why not create a million jobs at $400,000 each. I love it when the mainstream media interviews people like Ron Paul and they say, well, Ron Paul, you would cut the Department of Education and you would downsize government and you would lose 400,000 jobs and people need those jobs. And Ron Paul says, yeah, but they're non-productive jobs. And the host doesn't get it. The host is like, what do you mean? These people are productive. They're pushing paper around too. How come they don't deserve their paychecks? And Ron Paul has to educate them, school them on how economies really work, all right? And private sector, innovative entrepreneurship type of jobs, small business jobs, this is what drives the economy. Not government spending $400,000 to prop up a fake job of people who are reaching down your pants. That's not a job that we need. It's a con job is what that is. Yeah, all right. Mental health screening of teens creates a crisis where none exists. Oh, this was posted on our website, Natural News. Yeah. Just got to drug more teens now. That's what Big Pharma wants. We already heard from Gwen Olson here in the previous hour. More con jobs taking place in the mental health arena here in the United States and all around the world. Well, stay with us. We got a lot more here on the Alex Jones Show. So stay with us after this break. A lot more breaking news and guests lined up for you. This is Mike Adams filling in for Alex today. Be right back.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, folks, thank you for tuning in. This is Mike Adams filling in for Alex Jones today, continuing on our third hour, this global transmission from InfoWars. And if you're watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, we are simulcasting there, of course, in video. We've already had some great guests on. We have another wonderful guest for you coming up in just a few minutes. Daniel Vitalis will be joining us to talk about preparedness, the things you can do to keep yourself safe and leading up to that, and safe during the protests, by the way, safe during the riots that we think are coming, that could be breaking out in the near future. Look, let me set that up and explain the scenario that's really going on. Now, those of you who are longtime listeners of the Alex Jones Show, you're well educated on this. You know what's going on in Europe. You know the EU is about to fail, especially its currency. You know there's a lot of disruption there. Greece is on the brink of total bank failure, even government failure. That is not going to be an isolated event. That is going to ripple across Europe and really have a hard impact in the UK, which is also on the financial brink of a major restructuring, reboot, possible collapse, possibly yet more bailouts, more trillions of dollars in bailouts that will be needed to keep these countries solvent. And it can't be done forever. You know, you can sort of kick the can down the road for a little while, but you can't do it forever. Eventually, you gotta pick up the trash, using the can metaphor there. And in this case, the trash or the garbage is all of the debt that is burdening our global system. And that is going to spill over into the United States before very long, because, of course, it's all the global banking system. And what do you know? Wasn't it just yesterday that the Vatican called for a new global world bank because it said that all these other banks weren't behaving? So how does that work? Tell me this. So let's see, the concentration of power in the hands of banksters and Washington crooks and governments, it's already so concentrated that there's such crooks that they've made a mess of the thing, and the Federal Reserve, don't forget the Fed. So now the solution is to have one big, giant concentration of power in the hands of one group that the Vatican would support? It just gets better and better, man. These storytellers in the mainstream media and in politics, they just keep coming up with these incredible fabrications. You know, it is the democratization of power or the decentralization of power that really creates liberty and creates economic abundance, as you know. That's why we got to get the control of the money supply out of the hands of the Federal Reserve and back into the hands of the people in America so that it's not concentrated in the hands of a few corrupt people who are manipulating the system, but rather it's in the hands of everybody. People who work for a living, people who save money, people who invest money, people who hire other people and create real jobs. not these fabricated government jobs at $400,000 a piece. People need to read Economics 101, it seems, out there. It's incredible. Let me get into some predictions here. I made a list of predictions. You know, when I prepare to host the show here, I'm always thinking a couple of days ahead. Usually they give me a heads up. It's not like, hey, Mike, can you host it right now? Come in. No, it's usually they give me a day or two heads up, which is really important because I need that to think about what are the most important issues happening and to get to the core, like a laser beam core of the message that needs to be shared out there from my point of view. And I hope you appreciate that point of view. It's coming from my heart, I tell you. But here are my predictions. I see that, I wrote an article called "The Second American Revolution Has Begun." I believe that. I believe what we are seeing right now with Occupy Wall Street will expand. Of course, it will ebb and flow. It may shrink for a while. Then it may expand again. It may even seem to disappear for a while until there's another banking crisis. And then you're going to see the streets at some point, I think, flooded with protesters. I think that this is going to grow and it's going to become, unfortunately, more violent and more desperate. Now, I don't support that violence. I don't believe in violent revolution as a way to solve problems. We support peaceful protests. We support peaceful free speech. But as you know, about a third of the protesters out there, they are advocating violence, or at least they support the idea of violence. And that's a dangerous thing, because if violence breaks out, you know it's going to be followed by, guess what? Martial law. It's my second prediction. Martial law. Well, once they have martial law in America, and I do believe that day is coming, then they can use that. They can just use presidential executive orders or just powers under martial law to restrict anything they want. They can start having gold ownership restrictions. They could even have gold confiscation. They could have restrictions on carrying cash, as we're already seeing. Or they could even make you file reports of where you're going to walk today, like we saw. Where was that? Was that in Wisconsin? Covered that in the first hour. Just incredible. Where they don't want you to walk on the street like a free person, or even bike down the road as a free person. You have to file. They want you to file a report of where you're going to walk, where you're going to be at every hour, every minute of the day. And if you veer from that plan, then you're a criminal and you could be arrested. I'm not making this stuff up. All right, this is what it's coming down to. But martial law would give our government the pretext to be able to do all of that. And also, of course, firearms confiscation. Because, of course, disarmament is a necessary step for tyrants to run rampant over any population, as they've always done throughout world history. What about restrictions on food? Restrictions on home gardening? That could be coming too. But I think we're going to have major marches in the cities. I think we're going to see, again, unfortunately, violent clashes with some police. And I'm against that. Again, I'm totally against that. I wish the protesters would stay peaceful. I do understand that at times throughout human history that violence has been justified to fight for freedom, like the American Revolution. I certainly understand that. But that should only be as a very last resort, to free yourself from extreme tyranny. Tyranny that is deadly and in your face and doesn't give you options. I think we're going to see the rise of tent cities across America as we have more and more homeless, the new homeless, people who used to have jobs just recently. And because the government is literally destroying the economic base in America, literally exporting jobs overseas, people are losing their jobs, losing their homes. We're going to see more tent cities, I don't know, set up in parks, national parks, state parks, perhaps. Maybe set up, maybe someone will overrun a golf course and use those beautiful lawns for setting up their tent. We're camping out in America today, honey. Set up the tent on our golf course and we'll see what we can do. Starvation on the rise because of not only disruptions in the food supply, but also the rising price of basic food supplies. You've got hyperinflation that is always looming on the horizon because the Federal Reserve continues to create new money, adding to the money supply, devaluing the dollars that we all hold and that we all have saved and that we've all worked so hard for. They're going to devalue those dollars making us spend more money on the basic bread, the basic salt, the basic flour, the basic foods that we need to feed our families. Those are going to become increasingly expensive. It's all part of the designed, the engineered economic destruction of America. I mean, how else do you explain this whole issue? How big of a grant was that? $400 million, $500 million to this electric car company? You know, you heard that news in the last couple of days. A White House or a federal government grant to this electric car company that then decided to build its cars in, was it Finland? I think it's Finland. So the government grant money going to create jobs overseas. And then there's the attack on Gibson Guitars, of course, where they said, how dare you manufacture guitars using wood worked by the hands of American workers on American soil? How dare you? You have to export those jobs to Indonesia or India or Bangladesh or wherever they want you to send them to and not have American workers right here at home. And of course, we have all the attacks on the farmers, trying to put farming out of business, trying to destroy that entire economic base. This is happening. But the good news is there is also a rise in the awakening. Yeah, that's what you are part of right now, just by listening to this show, just by tuning in to InfoWars and reading the website, InfoWars.com. You and I and Alex and this whole crew, we are all part of the awakening of truth, the awakening of courage, people getting up, you know, off their couches, out into the streets to have their free speech heard. People waking up and saying, we are tired of being lied to. You know, we are tired of eating food that's contaminated with these toxic chemicals. We are tired of being marketed to with this flu shot propaganda that we know is full of lies. We are tired of our farmers being raided at gunpoint. We are tired of the legal medical marijuana dispensaries in California that are legal under state law, that are treating mostly just patients who have a medical condition that have some benefit from that medicinal plant. We are tired of them being raided by the federal government, by the DEA. We are tired of Obama and his administration running secret kill lists of Americans that they can just wipe out with no due process, with no rights. I mean, look, even if they're bad Americans, don't they deserve to have their day in court? Don't they deserve to have a trial? Hey, they gave Saddam Hussein a trial. If you could give Saddam Hussein a trial, you should be able to give anybody a trial. But no, no more trials. They just knock them off, bury them in the desert, throw them in the ocean, explode them with Nobel Peace Prize winning remote control drone missiles from the Obama administration. Some of that craziness. I don't like it. That's why I'm here, man. That's why I'm here to be part of this, because we've got to stand up. This awakening is real, and you are part of it. So keep sharing this information. Get the InfoWars t-shirts. Share the website, InfoWars.com. Show your support for this mass awakening, and you can be part of a nonviolent revolution and understanding that can bring us back to a state of liberty and true peace and true economic prosperity in America. And we've got a lot more coming up here. Thanks for joining us so far. Stay with us. More exciting news on The Alex Jones Show. I'm Mike Adams. We'll be right back. Yeah, we are back right here on The Alex Jones Show. Thank you for joining me. My name is Mike Adams, filling in for Alex. I'm the editor of Natural News. And by the way, Natural News, you know, Alex, it's funny. Alex, when he asked me to fill in for him on the show here, which I'm always thrilled to do, I feel it's really a patriotic duty to be part of this InfoWars movement. You know, he always says, it's okay to mention your website, Mike. And I usually like, nah, I don't need to do that. I'm just here to cover on the news, focus on the news. But, If you want to know about health freedom, Natural News is the site that I run, and we are to the health world a lot like what InfoWars is to freedom, politics, and economics, and so on. And in fact, I'm going to be sharing a lot of stories and producing a lot of video reports that you probably see on InfoWars Nightly News, because we have so much in common about vaccines, about GMOs, about all these issues that matter to us all. So we're just all part of the same team here, trying to bring you messages of freedom and liberty, and happy to do it. Another message, by the way, that we also like to bring you is a message of preventing disease and actually supporting your health and boosting your nutrition. That's something that I'm into here big time. In fact, going to bring up, I just want to show you behind the scenes. This is my jar of superfoods. Obviously, you can't see this on the radio, but this is one of the jars of superfood that I brought here today. I always bring a couple of quarts of superfood when I travel anywhere, and especially when I do these shows. Yeah, there it is, nice and purple if you're watching on PrisonPlanet.tv. This is just an extraordinary combination of healing nutrients. It's what I drink every time before the show, which is why I'm always in the restroom here pulling chia seeds out of my teeth. That's the one drawback with these superfoods. You're going to get maybe some chia seeds in your teeth. Not good to have that on camera. I've had that before. Drink a bunch of spirulina. Smile. Now you're on Facebook with a green mouth. Yeah, nice. Not a lot of fun. But Inner Health Botanicals is really a fantastic company. I want to give them their much-deserved plug here. I know Steve over there at Inner Health. They offer just an extraordinary product that if you're feeling sick or tired, if you're not liking the level of energy in your life, if you want to improve your nutritional support, try their products. They've really got just a great selection of some of the best natural supplements, superfoods, and much more you find out there. I actually gave them an award a couple of years ago, the Editor's Choice Award from Natural News, and that award still stands, and I'm happy to stand behind it. It's really a fantastic product, so check out Enerfood.com. That's E-N-E-R, food.com. Enerfood.com. Definitely worth incorporating into your life. You know, one of the things about superfoods, by the way, just before we get to our next segment here, we've got Daniel Vitalis on hold joining us by Skype coming up, and that's going to be an awesome interview. But one of the things you need to know about superfoods is some people think, well, you got to be all or nothing. No, I don't. I'm not like 100%. I don't drink this. This is not everything I eat. And people out there, if you have a regular diet, let's say you go out and you have some barbecue one day. Well, that's not going to hurt you if you add some superfoods to it. Because, you know, the barbecue, the smoke from the barbecue, when it cooks the fat in the barbecue meat, it creates carcinogens that promote colon cancer. But you can buffer those carcinogens by drinking some superfood at the same time that you're eating your barbecue. Now, I don't eat barbecue. It's not my choice, but hey, it's a free country, or at least I hope it is. So if you want to eat barbecue, all I'm saying is get some superfoods with it, and you can help protect yourself from some of the negative effects of some of those types of foods that you might want to enjoy for your own reasons. And you don't want the colon cancer that goes with it. I don't blame you. In fact, hot dogs and beef jerky and sausage is all made with sodium nitrite, which is a very toxic cancer-causing chemical. And the defense against that is vitamin C. So if you get some, let's say, frozen mangoes and you blend them up in a blender and you drink a mango juice with your hot dog or your corn dog or whatever, then your mango juice is going to help protect you against the corn dogs, against the sodium nitrite in those products. It's in beef jerky, it's in sausage, it's in pepperoni, it's in all the processed meats, by the way, virtually all of them. So drink your vitamin C with it, and you will help protect yourself. Got a lot more nutritional strategies. I hope we have time to share those with you later on. We have Daniel Vitalis joining us by Skype. We're almost out of time here. What we're going to do is we're going to have Daniel join us on the other side of this break, but let me give you a heads up of what this is all about. How can you protect yourself if you're part of a protest or if the riots come to your town? What can you do to keep you and your family safe? We're going to be talking about some common sense, streetwise preparedness tactics and strategies from one of the experts out there that is really outstanding and super informed on this issue, Daniel Vitalis from SurThrival. So we'll be joined by Daniel right on the other side of this break. You are listening to The Alex Jones Show. I'm Mike Adams. We'll be right back. Stay with us. To be joined for the next at least 20 minutes, probably more like 30 minutes, all the way to the end of the show here, by Daniel Vitalis. from SirThrival.com. He is an expert in primitive skills, in wilderness skills, wilderness plant identification. He's the kind of guy who can find food and medicine out in nature. He's very good at it. And I've invited Daniel to join us because I've known Daniel for many years, and I know that the guy's brilliant with his information. And I wanted to get his take on what's coming in America and what you can do to help protect and defend yourselves and be smart, be street smart about what's coming in America. So Daniel is joining us by Skype. Are you there, Daniel?
I am, Mike. Good to be on the show. Thanks a lot.
Great. Thanks for joining us today. Good to see you there. First of all, first question for you, Daniel. Where do you think this is all headed in terms of the protests that are happening right now, combined with what you know a financial disruption or maybe collapse is headed our way? What's your take on where things are headed in America?
Well, clearly, it seems like these things are going to continue to escalate for a time. And when this Occupy movement first began, you know, for me, that was the first time in my life that I can really think of such a pervasive kind of protest. I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime, really. I had the opportunity to be in Los Angeles recently where I saw the beginnings of that protest there. I think we're going to see, like you mentioned earlier in the show, I think we're going to see people moving into the streets more and more. And I think we're going to see more and more contention between sort of those militia powers, those people who are ready to violently uprise. And I think we're going to see conflict with them and the police and the military. I think that it's obvious it's moving in that direction. The timeline is very difficult to predict, but I think we could expect this thing to continue on the course. It's sort of like dominoes have already begun falling. I think we can expect them to continue to fall.
Well, that's a good analysis, but I just want to clarify too. You're not advocating that kind of violence. You're just saying that you suspect that might be where it's headed.
I think in the same way that you know, the people, the listeners of this show are aware of the kind of power and force that the police state is willing to use, I think we need to also be aware that there are those other powers out there willing to use force as well. And I would advocate a neutral position in that. In fact, one of the things you and I have talked a lot about, Mike, is how not to be part of either of those two things. Rather, I'd like to create this sort of safe haven for myself so that I have that longevity. I don't want to be caught up on either side of this. I plan to sit back and watch it happen, watch how the cards fall, and choose a position that's safe for me and for my loved ones.
Well, but okay, but let's say a critic watching this might say, well, Daniel, you know, why aren't you willing to go on the front lines and be part of the fight and rise up and be part of that? I mean, what's the deal, huh? Are you saying you're just going to back out?
Rather than back out, I want to be part of rebuilding this country. I want to be part of rebuilding this world. My focus is on my own health and taking care of myself and taking care of the people I love, taking care of the people who are following my work and sharing with them the kind of strategies that they can use to stay really healthy and safe in these coming years. So I'm not backing out of it at all, but I'm not interested in the violent clash that I see a potential for. Rather, I'd like to be part of rebuilding a world that we all really would like to live in. The kind of world where we have the liberty and freedom that we talk about but haven't really got to experience in our lifetimes.
So you don't like inhaling tear gas, I see. Okay, whatever. To each his own. By the way, your camera is shaking just a little bit there. You might be tapping on your table, so you might want to watch that. Keep that video steady. For those of you who want to watch the video, it's prisonplanet.tv. So Daniel, then the next question would be, if people want to join the protest, but they don't want to be tear gas and they don't want to be beaten by the police, right? Not a fun day. They don't want to be arrested. What advice would you have for people who want to be there because there's a lot of energy going on and maybe they want to be part of the end the Fed message in these protests? They want to be there physically, but they want to be safe in the protests. What would you say to them are the tactics and strategies to stay safe even while they're there?
Well, I think people really need to understand sort of the difference between threat level white and threat level red and the gradations in between. Because, you know, there was a time in my life where I really got to live my life on threat level white, where everything felt very safe around me. You know, I don't think we're at threat level red right now with what's going on in the streets of America. But I think, you know, it's time to be on maybe alert yellow, alert even orange if you're going to go to these kind of protests. And you need to have your wits about you. You need to be paying attention to what's happening. You need to be listening to your senses. You got five senses feeding you data all the time. You need to be using those to sum up what's going on. You also want to have your eyes really open for the people that are being sent to these things to incite violence. because there's right. no doubt that people are being sent in. We often hear about these black clad characters being the so-called anarchists who come into these different kinds of protests and try to incite violence and try to get people swept up in a sort of mob frenzy. And you don't want to be anywhere near that. So you want to keep your eyes open to how the police are behaving, to how any security might be behaving, and to how the fellow protesters are behaving. And you may want to keep yourself somewhat to the sidelines, because getting yourself right into that, you're really asking to get tear gassed, to get sort of cuffed up. Again, I really do appreciate the people who are willing to go into these kind of struggles, but that's not me, and that's not what I would advocate for people's long-term safety and long-term survival strategy.
Well, just to be clear, you are an advocate of freedom and liberty, but you, for example, by being on this show, you use words as your, you know, your ammo, so to speak. I mean, you don't have to be physically involved to be effective. Everybody's got a different role to play.
Absolutely. And I think one of the most effective things we could do right now is begin taking care of ourselves, becoming food sovereign, becoming water sovereign, becoming health sovereign. I don't really understand sort of one of the interesting things I see in the preparedness community and in the political communities are people fighting against this system, but they don't have the kind of health. They haven't built the health foundation that's going to allow them to sustain it all the way through to the other side. And that's where I want to be. I think taking care of our own food, our own water, and our own medicines is far more subversive to this current sort of system than going out there with a sign is.
You're right. I mean, as long as we are tied into their systems of electricity, their systems of water out of the tap, fluoridated water, no less, their systems of healthcare, then we are slaves. Even if you go out and protest on the street, and then you come home, you're still filling out forms for your insurance company. You're still drinking tap water. You're still not off the grid and truly independent and truly sovereign, like you say. So you raise a good point. It's about getting more sovereign and independent now before all this stuff gets worse.
Right. Rather than voting with our dollars to support a system that we're out in the street with a sign protesting against.
Yeah, well, it also makes me wonder where this is all actually headed, because let's say it does get more, let's say it expands, and there are more financial collapses, and people start really losing their money. I mean, we saw last week, I think Aaron Dykes reported on this here, that the FDIC has now taken on the burden of $79 trillion, I believe, in derivative debt that it's going to now, quote, insure against loss. Was that Bank of America, I think? Well, the FDIC doesn't have even $1 trillion, okay? So if that defaults, the FDIC is history, bankrupt, penniless. Well, that means every FDI-insured bank account in the country is basically totally exposed. No more insurance. I mean, who's going to bail out the bailing out organizations that are bailing out the other? At some point, it doesn't work, and everybody just loses their money. That's not going to make people happy.
Yeah, people are sitting on U.S. dollars right now, or actually Federal Reserve debt notes, sitting on these as a savings if they've managed to save anything. And each day that goes by, they're losing purchasing power. I'm a huge advocate of moving your money out of Federal Reserve debt notes, out of bank accounts, and moving them into either physical assets or even things like precious metals so that you can protect the money that you've made. I mean, I think what's really obvious, Mike, what we can see is happening here is that people have worked and worked and worked, and now they're about to be robbed of everything they've worked for, and that is going to create that anger and that potential for violence that we've been discussing. So I think right now, we have a great opportunity right now. For instance, if a person wanted to purchase something like silver, well, they essentially have a government subsidy right now on every ounce of silver they buy, as that the cost of that metal is being artificially suppressed. They have an opportunity right now. You have an opportunity to buy food right now, to put away water, to put away the kind of things that it seems obvious you'll need in the very soon coming future. Now is a really great window of opportunity to start preparedness measures, because right now we still have dollars that can purchase something. And you don't want to be those people who wake up one day and realize they've been robbed of everything. You don't have to be as angry as those people are going to be, because you can take steps right now, really easy steps.
Yeah, you know, we talked. In fact, we filmed a preparedness course together that a lot of people are excited about. It's for Thrival Course. And in that, I remember we talked about some of the items that people can stock up on for barter items, things that you might not suspect. And it turned out it was like salt, sugar, coffee, cigarettes, lighters. you know, maybe not stuff that I would necessarily use, but in terms of barterability, it's huge.
You know, I like to think, Mike, if somebody put away 1,000 ounces of silver, they would be holding essentially 1,000 days of paid labor from an employee. I mean, if you think about that, you know, traditionally an ounce of silver will buy you a day's labor. And if you're somebody who has people working for them, if you run a business, even a small business, think about what it would mean to wake up one day and your dollars are moved to zero or to a fraction of their purchasing power. But you then had a metal that was barterable for a day's labor every day, or other items, like you mentioned, that people didn't stock away that they're going to crave and desire. And if you had those things, you could be in a really good position, especially during a time of something like martial law, where the ability to get those things would be really diminished.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Trying to get salt in the middle of a martial law scenario after the first wave of buying. You know, salt is very difficult to get on land.
Absolutely. And, you know, with salt's an interesting one, because we see what happens when a natural disaster occurs. We see the way that the shelves are stripped of water immediately, because people know they need that water within a couple of days. The need for salt's slightly more insidious. We're used to having it in our food. We all grew up on processed food where the salt was already added for us. We don't realize, and you've mentioned a couple times on the show today about India and about the way that they protested by harvesting their own sea salts. Well, that's because they were very connected to the amount of salt they needed to survive. The average American doesn't realize how critical salt is to their survival.
Right.
So they put away their storable foods. They put away water. They put away gold or silver or their whatever they put away, and they forget about little things like salt, because the truth is, we've never been health sovereign in our generation. We've never had to take care of our own health. We've been coddled and taken care of. One of the things I promote is a kind of sovereign self-health care, where you actually take care of your own health and you learn the importance of things like salt, basic things that you need to survive. You know, your grandmother knew that. Your great-grandmother knew that.
Yeah, exactly right. A lot of wisdom from what you're mentioning here, Daniel. And for those who want to learn more about Daniel Vitalis, his website is sirthrival.com. It's just like the word survival, but a TH in there instead of the V. Sirthrival.com, and he's got a lot of interesting wisdom to share with us. Let me ask you about this scenario, Daniel. Because I talk to you from time to time, we talk about what's going on in the world and preparedness. And we had a fascinating realization the other day about, you know, when the U.S. is bombing all these countries, bombing Libya, of course, they're peace bombs, but they still explode. They explode with peace, yes, or in pieces, I suppose. But they're peace bombs, and maybe we're going to be bombing Syria soon, who knows, or bombing Afghanistan, bombing Iraq. Aren't we, in a sense, aren't we bombing these countries into a crash course in survival and preparedness, as if like their people now, because they know how to live without water in the tap. They know how to live with disruptions in electricity and the food supply. They know things that Americans don't know, because Americans are sitting on their buns watching this on CNN, you know, remote control. Ah, isn't that funny? Bombs blowing up in Libya. But the Libyans are learning survival.
Yeah, absolutely. Learning now how to live on their planet in their environment. And the thing is that we live in our homes, which are in a lovely way, climate controlled, where we don't have to deal with weather at all, because we live inside of sort of a controlled bubble. And what happens is, the way our organism works and the way our epigenome works, our genetics essentially, is that we adapt to our environment and lifestyle. And the environment and lifestyle we've adapted to has kept us in a state of what we call neoteny in biology, which means we're adults that behave and look like children, like big children, because we've been raised in a sort of artificial world. You know, America in the last few decades has been like a big Disneyland kind of theme park. Our homes are so well controlled that we never have our physiology challenged. The people in these countries, particularly these desertous countries that we've been bombing over there, who are now living outdoors, in caves, on the run, their bodies are becoming adapted to the environment. They're becoming very strong and very elite through that process. I think it would be wise to start exposing ourselves to a little bit more of our environment, strengthen us a little bit, because we become rather weak. And through what we sometimes call eugenics, but is really accurately called negative eugenics, which is the degenerating of a population. We've been subject to that through a degeneration process. We've been broken down to we're so soft and so easily manipulated. And we actually live in a kind of state now where our our planet is like a foreign world to us. Most people don't even know how to go outside and survive for more than a couple of days because they're like aliens visiting this planet rather than members of the community that is born to this planet.
Well, you're using some pretty harsh words there. I tend to agree with the gist of what you're saying, but you know, maybe we'll take some callers in the next segment because you're saying that we're too soft and we're too comfortable. I would agree with that. We are too comfortable. And I mean, part of our message is that we as Americans who want to be part of the rebuilding, who want to be part of the movement of liberty, you know, the expansion of awareness, we got to be physiologically and mentally ready with preparedness, with some basic skills. We got to be able to survive disruptions in the food supply, in the electrical supply, in the water supply. I mean, I don't want to be out there holding a hat and waiting for FEMA to come along and give me some government cheese. Mm-hmm. You know, that is not my idea of how to be a sovereign citizen.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree. You know, I think just the way that we're born in our culture, born into hospitals, I think a little bit about the metaphor of a duckling when it's born, that it will imprint on the first creature that it sees. And so if that was a person, then the ducklings will follow around the person like it's their mother. Well, a lot of us, the first people we imprinted on were doctors and nurses. And whenever something scary happens, we run to the emergency room. Or, you know, you've got the kind of people who are very, maybe very concerned about learning to defend themselves. They want to be very nonviolent, which is, I think, a wonderful ethic. But as soon as something scary happens, they call the police so that men with guns will come and protect them and rescue them. And that is the opposite of sovereignty. Sovereignty is where you are actually self-ruling. And a lot of us can't fully grasp it because we don't physiologically embody it. We haven't done the things that help to strengthen us a little bit. And I'm not saying somebody has to go become a desert marauding commando. I'm just saying getting outside a little bit, exposing yourself to the air outside, to the sun outside, to the nutrients that come from the soil and the local ecosystem where you live. These little things start to strengthen you and give you some health sovereignty so that you're not totally dependent on a system that, let's face it, that system is crumbling in front of us.
Yeah, it is crumbling. And I don't know, desert marauding commando doesn't sound like a bad idea to have somebody like that around during the collapse. Maybe all of us don't want to be that way. Daniel, we got to go to break here, so stay with us. And for those of you who have questions for Daniel, call in. I'd like to take some calls in the next segment. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. Stay with us. This is Mike Adams, and we'll be right back. Okay, hey, we are back. Yeah, this is Mike Adams filling in for Alex Jones today on The Alex Jones Show, and I love the listeners of this show. I love the InfoWars team because we just had an audience member out there who sent us a Photoshop photo of Janet Napolitano with a milk mustache. Yeah, we talked about that in the first hour. I was like, I wish we had a poster of Janet with a milk mustache and the slogan underneath it, if you see something, say something. Be suspicious of anything. This is, of course, referring to the Raw Milk Freedom Riders event that is coming up November 1, when we're going to have a caravan of moms smuggling milk across the border into Maryland and then drinking it like a bunch of thugs, I guess, in front of the FDA. You know, if they really want to freak out the FDA, they should just engage in some breastfeeding right there in front of the federal tyrants. That'll really freak them out. What? Biology? Milk? They should outlaw human breast milk next. What do you think, Daniel?
I think it's probably underway.
they're gonna make those glands of the human female anatomy illegal because they produce the illegal terrorist milk.
Yeah, and there's so many wonderful soy-based alternatives anyway, aren't there, Mike?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to love that 40% high-fructose corn syrup in the infant formula. That's my favorite, with the soy protein extracted with the explosive chemical known as hexane. lovely. What a lovely, lovely little diets we're on. Okay, Daniel. I wanted to... There's so much to ask you about. We've only got a few minutes left here because, man, the show is almost over, but... You mentioned a point to me the other day that I got to ask you about. You mentioned that urban planners never plan for their cities to suffer serious breakdowns or disruptions. And why is that a big deal? I mean, what does that mean about what's going to happen in cities?
Well, as I mentioned before, I mean, most people are used to when there's an emergency, they run either to the police or they run to the hospital. These are the two places we go because we often forget that we could stop and actually figure out what to do ourselves. I think a lot of us are realizing now that we don't really like either of those options. We want to learn what we can do for ourselves. It's really time for the people out there to start developing food sovereignty. And that means having a food supply, one, at home. And I know that the people listening to this show are aware of the kind of options they have for getting long-term storage food. But I want to point out that those foods are those are survival foods. Those are foods for getting by, but that's not how I'd want to live my life and long-term. So short-term, that's fantastic, but I'd recommend the people out there start developing networks so that they have access to food all the time, no matter what happens. And that means really developing relationships with farmers, going to your farmers markets, learning to grow your own food, or if you really want to take it to another level, learning to forage your own food, which is something I'm really into, but developing some sort of network so you have food security. Secondly, I'd say water security is going to be critical. When water systems break down, particularly in the desert of Southwest, there's going to be some problems for some people. So you may want to put some water away, but you might also want to develop alternative sources for water, whether that means you have a way of condensing it out of the atmosphere, or whether you have the ability to gather that water. If you don't have a well, maybe getting finding a spring that's near you. That's why I created the website findaspring.com, which is a database of freshwater springs that you can actually drive up to and get your water.
Daniel, sorry to cut you off there. We're just about out of time, and I want to make sure I have time to thank you for all your information. And for those who want to learn more about you and what you're into, they can check out sirthrival.com. We're going to be covering more preparedness articles at naturalnews.com. And of course, read Infowars.com every day for the breaking news. Check out Infowars Nightly News tonight. Alex Jones will be on talking about the latest TSA situation. Thanks for joining us today. This is Mike Adams filling in. Have a great day. Stay free, huh?